up a scenario with you for a second. I want you to use your imagination, okay? Just use your imagination. You're headed home from church this afternoon. You get back, kind of looking at your week ahead of you, and you check your bank account online. You discover that a couple big transactions came through this past weekend, and you have $50 left in your bank account. Also, looking at the bill schedule, you kind of know when bills are coming as you kind of prepare to pay for different things. And some unexpected purchases have drained the bank account, and you know that that mortgage is coming due next week. Or you know that that car insurance payment is going to hit your bank account, it's going to take another hit out of your account. What's your reaction? Are you worried? Are you starting to think? Getting anxious about how do I get this figured out? Maybe I need to talk to my employer and get an advance on my next check or something like that. I wasn't planning on this. I think we've all been there in different situations where things happened and we weren't prepared for it. We start worrying about what's happening next. How is it going to affect my next week, my next paycheck, my next whatever? About 20% of Americans struggle with anxiety, and it's a form of anxiety that actually is a disorder. And as Americans, every year we spend about $2 billion on anxiety medication, trying to get this part of our lives under control. And what's funny about anxiety, what's kind of frustrating about anxiety, is that it's a learned thing. Most of the time, most anxiety we experience in our life is actually a learned thing. So my parents were anxious people. My parents didn't handle worries very well, and they kind of passed that on to me. Or I learned this due to different environments that I grew up in and being stressed out, and that's kind of the way I live my life. Most of us live with this low level of stress around us at most of the time. And only when it peaks do we really realize that it's a problem. Why do we worry so much? What do we worry about? You could probably run the gamut of different things that you worry about. This week, think about two things that have worried you. In your head, was there at least two things that really concerned you this week? Maybe they concern you right now. I imagine it's probably more than just two things. You could probably name five. You might run out of fingers. Finances, cars, kids, church issues, health issues. Marriage, all these things we worry about. You know, when I was a kid, and probably you thought this too when you were a kid growing up, you thought, man, it'd be so nice when I get to be an adult. I won't worry about this stuff anymore. I won't have to think about this stuff. I won't have homework to do anymore. Oh, man, the dreaded homework. Now we can only wish we could go back and do our homework again, right? We think that in some way we get older, we get to this next stage in life, we won't have these concerns, these worries anymore. But what we don't realize is that the worry doesn't change. What we worry about changes. Chances are you probably don't worry about the same things that you worried about 10 years ago, 20, 30 years ago maybe. But you still worry. Worry keeps us up at night. Gives us indigestion and heartburn. I was just talking with a sister this week about indigestion and heartburn related to worry. We all experience it differently. It affects us differently, our anxiety and our stress. It keeps us from enjoying the present. You ever have anybody ask you, what's going on? And you realize you've just been staring off in the space for the last 5 minutes thinking about something that's stressing you out. You can't enjoy kids. You can't enjoy grandkids. You can't enjoy holidays. You can't enjoy whatever it is that you're supposed to be able to enjoy. It maybe strains your relationships. It damages marriages. You ever come home from work stressed out because something happened at work and you weren't able to really process it, and then all of a sudden your wife or your husband says something, bam, you just kind of explode and unload on them? And they're like, whoa, wait a second. Where did that come from? And maybe they get angry because now they're at the point of your anger and frustration because they didn't do anything. They were just there when you walked in the door. It affects our work performance. You ever have a day at work where you just can't concentrate on things? You can't do your job well, you leave, and you think, man, that 6, we find this topic being covered by Jesus. What I find interesting and funny is that the day before electricity, before running water, cures for many diseases that we experience today and think about, before cell phones, cars, modern conveniences, worry is still a big enough topic for Jesus to deal with it in the Sermon on the Mount. And you know, we often think with the subject of worry, we think, well, man, if I could just get back to the way things used to be. My life was so much simpler back then. Or if I could just escape to a cabin in the mountains somewhere, I wouldn't have to deal with all this. We think that in some way, if we get away from the way our complicated modern lives are, we could escape our worry. But here in Matthew chapter 6, we've got Jesus in a day without many of the things that we experience that complicate and stress our lives out. Jesus is still talking about worry. Because the truth is that man is worried since sin came into the world. No amount of simplicity keeps us worry-free. It goes deeper than that. And Jesus starts talking in Matthew chapter 6 and says, verses 25 through 28, don't be anxious about your life. Look at the birds of the air. Consider the lilies of the field. God takes care of his creation. And Jesus uses two examples from the world around that we look at and we find the beauty of nature and the providence of God coinciding in these different experiences with birds and with flowers to illustrate the futility of worry. It's kind of funny that we're talking about it during this time of the year because we look outside and we see all the different colors of the flowers that are popping up. It seems like every week there's a new flower, a new color, a new expression of the beauty of nature. You're probably hearing birds chirping and robins starting to release their young into the world as they nest and they create environments for their little ones to be birthed and to send off. Just this week I was mowing and found an empty robin's nest that had just been freed of its young. I have a robin that apparently thinks my window in my office is a portal to another side of life, and it tries to come in. And it started to poop all over the sill on the outside and mess up my window. And every time I hear a dink, I see this robin. Thinks he could come in my window. But I love looking at the birds. Don't you like looking at these things, these expressions of life? And Jesus says, you know, all of these little creatures, these flowers, they exist because God takes care of them. Yes, they may work for different things. They may build their nests and they may take care of their young. But ultimately, God provides the material to do it. And they're beautiful because God provides, not because they work for it. Beyond hunting and gathering their food, they don't do anything to feed and pretty themselves. God does that. I have a sign in my office. I think I told you maybe if you were in class one Wednesday or Sunday night, we talked about this. I have a sign that was painted by a sister here, Kathy Hamilton. When I first got here, I think I made a comment about this issue of worry and anxiety, because this is kind of where I'm at. I struggle with this. And she painted a sign for me. I love it. It helped me rate my office. It says, why pray when you can worry? I just think that's so clever. And what's the implication behind that? Because we know that's not exactly true, but oftentimes that's how we live our lives, that it's easier for us to worry than pray. And we think because we worry, it will somehow make a difference in the situation. That somehow we'll be able to solve the problems that we're worrying about. We feel like we're doing more when we worry. But worry kills us. Jesus says, which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of life? Worry accomplishes nothing. How many times have you solved a problem by thinking and worrying about it? You sat there, you thought hard enough, you came up with a solution, and you just fixed it all. Probably not. Probably the opposite is true. I can't tell you how many times, how many hours of my life I've wasted sitting there, thinking about something, worrying about an issue, that the reality is I can do nothing about it. And the only thing that I'm doing in the moment is wasting my time and stressing myself out. And not being able to enjoy time with family, or not being able to do my job well, or not being able to fill in the blank. Usually the opposite is true. Worry acts much stress would you rate your life as being right now? And they found that those who indicated even slight stress levels were 20% more likely to die during the 10-year period of study. 20% more likely. Even those who we would say probably aren't way stressed out still affected the quality of their life. You ever see those people that it seems like nothing ever fazes them? They just let it all roll over back. We envy those people, don't we? The way that they just kind of take life as it comes and enjoy whatever is coming at them, and they adjust and they maneuver different situations to be able to work with it as it comes. Worry kills us. And Jesus says, as much as God takes care of these different animals, as God takes care of these plants, these birds that don't work for anything, if God takes care of them, why wouldn't He also take care of you? Because you're more valuable. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, won't He take care of you? If God's concern is for the bird to have something to eat, for the flower to look pretty, won't He take care of your problems and the things that you struggle with? And here's the thing. I think for most of us, the biggest issue with us and God and Word is that we often think He doesn't care. We think that our worries, the things that we struggle with on a day-to-day basis, just don't matter. Because God has more problems than that. God has bigger things to deal with. And why would He be considered about, why would He be worried about my problems? The little things that bother me, they're not really that big of a deal. We minimize what bothers us because we think, how in the world can God be concerned with that? But if we read 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, right? Cast all your care on Him because He cares for you. How much? All of our care. All of it. So that means that the cancer patient that I'm praying for on a daily basis, all the way down to my child who is going through a health problem, I'm not sure what it is just yet, but I'm worried about it. Or my job, I'm not sure I'm going to have a job next week because they're closing down or they're talking about shutting down, whatever. Or my car is starting to conk out on me. I'm not sure where I'm going to get money for a new car. God's concerned about all of that. It doesn't matter. Because He cares for us as a father. Jesus, in chapter 7, we'll get into it in a few weeks, but then later ask a question of His people that He's talking to in the Sermon on the Mount. He'll ask them, which of you, if His son asks for bread, will give Him a stone? Or if He asks for a fish, we'll give Him a serpent. Of course, nobody would do that to their child. Nobody would, if their child is a legitimate point of need, would give them something that doesn't matter to them, that doesn't help them out. And Jesus' point is this, that the Father even more so cares about His children and gives them what they need. Because you're more valuable than that, than the bird, than the flower, than the grass. I was reading through this passage, and like probably many of you, I've read through it lots of times in my life and have become very familiar with all that it says, and I was kind of trying to wrap my mind around, why do we really worry? I mean, I know why we worry. We worry because things happen in our lives, and we're not sure how we're going to deal with them, so we worry like that, but why do we really worry? And I got to the end of the passage in verse 34, and something hit me. Verse 34 says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. stretches from end to end, and it's a neat thought. Just a few weeks ago, we talked in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, "May your kingdom come." Joseph of Arimathea, Mark chapter 15, in our Easter series, we found that Joseph is described as someone who is seeking the kingdom of God. The parables, if you read them, they talk about what the kingdom should look like when God reigns. And the Sermon on the Mount, at its core, teaches disciples to live and seek the kingdom. But my worry, my anxiety, is ultimately an obstacle to me seeking and seeing the kingdom of God. Because when I worry, I tell God something. I tell Him, "You can't handle this. I'll take care of this, God. I'll figure it out. I'll think it through. I'll force something to happen. I'll fix this problem." And it distracts us from focusing on the eternal to focusing on the immediate. Lay it at Jesus' feet. Ask Him to truly get rid of the worry and the anxiety that comes into your life. In our Wednesday night Bible class, we just finished the book of Philippians. And I love what Philippians chapter 4 talks about with worry. Paul says, don't be anxious about anything, but in prayer, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you know what the peace of God says? The peace of God says, "I've got this, my child. Just seek the kingdom. Just seek the kingdom." This morning, if you find yourself consumed with worry and anxiety, and I don't know what that would be, if that's a constant, ongoing thing for you, or if it's just where you're at right now with the situation in life, we want to pray with you. We have an invitation of reward.